The following podcast on the WDKX Podcast Network is
provided by Vision Automotive.
You are about to witness the bounce back, an upfront and personal podcast that exposes how individuals overcome life's struggles. Now here's your bounce back host, Adam McFadden.
Well, I want to welcome you to the sixth episode of the Bounce Back. And I'm going to introduce you to everyone out there in radio land or podcast land that is listening. Your voice may be familiar to some and new to others. Miss Ella Dean, my big sister, all the way in town from Phoenix, and I had to get you on this show. So thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me. It's always good to come home.
Absolutely. So I thought about you being in Rochester, then moving to Phoenix. I went to your party, and I was just blown away how vibrant you were. So I wanted to talk about how a change of scenery can be good for people that are struggling with things or maybe, you know, needing a new start. Because the bounce back is really about starting over and bouncing back from whatever. And so I just wanted to talk to you about that and a little bit about Rochester history.
Okay, well, born and raised in the city of Rochester, I came back to celebrate my 60th birthday. Yeah, I am 60 now. I'm going to put that out there. But I had a really horrific horseback riding accident years ago, and it came back to haunt me in 2014. And I became disabled. 5 back surgeries, titanium rods and screws in my spine, nerve stimulator. And I realized I was in a lot of pain because of the environment I was living in. Rochester, very humid, very cold, on Lake Ontario, and it just wasn't good for my back. So I decided to move to Phoenix. My daughter was there, and you know, the dry climate, it's just been wonderful for my back. And I swim every day, I walk every day, and I couldn't do that when I was here. Mm. And it really does, not only physically, it improves your life, but mentally and emotionally as well. So yeah, Rochester is home, but Phoenix is home number 2, and it's treated me real well.
Well, it was great to see all the people come out and celebrate you at the party at the Charleston House. I had the pleasure of attending, and I'll say this, I thought it was your grandson's party because he seemed to be getting all the attention and soaking it all up.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I've had a good time, and I, you know, I'm going to miss you guys when I leave tomorrow, but I can't wait to get home to him. And I already told my daughter, I was like, you know what? Make sure he's in the back seat when you pick me up, because he's coming home with me.
And that boy got a head full of hair.
Yes. Wonder where he got it from.
Yes.
But yeah. But now he has, you know, you talk about the bounce back.
Uh-huh.
He has helped with my bounce back. He has given me a sense of purpose that I never had before.
Mm.
He has shown me at 14 months what unconditional love looks like. And he helped with the bounce back.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful because, as you know, I went through my situation, mm-hmm. and as horrific as it might have seemed to everyone, when I reflect on it now, it's put me in such a better place mentally and spiritually. That's why it's hard for me when people ask me if I have any regrets or anything I would do differently. I'm not sure, because God meant for something to happen within me that I wasn't getting. And it took for that situation to happen for me to appreciate not just my children, because I always appreciated them, but little moments that I'd was clearly ignoring within their lives, my lives, friendships, and relationships. And it helped to get rid of some people I didn't need in my life, too.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, you know, so I get how little ones can kind of shape you, because they love you no matter what.
No matter what.
No matter what.
As long as you feed them, change them, and bathe them, and let them get some sleep, they're cool.
Yes. And I just had a situation where my daughter, youngest daughter, is away to college, and they had a mass shooting last week, and we had to bring her home. And, you know, she's still in school. She's going to do Zoom classes, that kind of thing. But the worry that I had as a parent not being there physically because it happened in another state, mm-hmm. and figuring out, okay, I got to get this child back, and I want to make sure that her mental health is okay. So it's amazing to me how you can, you know, as an adult, be adulting, and you kind of miss things. But now I'm not missing anything, mm-hmm. you know. So I can appreciate where you're coming from when you talk about how he
really has made a difference in my life. And it's pushed me to do some of the things that helped me with the bounce back. Mm. You know, strengthening my muscles in my back, you know, by lifting him and swimming with him and playing with him. Muscles that I hadn't used in a long time. So it gave me strength, you know, to do that with him. And like I said, mentally and emotionally, I used to wake up like, okay, what's today going to be like? How much pain am I going to be in today? Now I wake up with a smile on my face and I hit the pavement. I start walking my morning walk. I walk 3 times a day now. Before he showed up, yeah, I was doing it, but I wasn't really doing it with aggression,
right,
and power,
right.
You know, and now I am.
You're going through the motions, right?
Exactly. That's all I was doing.
Yes. Now, we also had a guest at your party, Renee Hell.
Yeah.
Who many listeners of DKX may remember him because at one point he was probably the most popular person on air here, who I had never met, given my history with DKX, and I had the pleasure of talking to him and getting to learn his story. And it was great to see him come out and support and hear that voice, because it was the voice that I remember from my childhood.
Yeah, Renee and I have remained very good friends. He's one of my best friends. I started working at DKX, a lot of people don't know, when I was 16, mm-hmm. I was an intern. And Renee did afternoon drive. So he just became one of my big brothers. I had, you know, Andre, Danny Harris, Ken Boddy, Gordon Thomas. They all became my big brothers at the time. And Renee and I have just stayed in contact. You know, he's been, you know, stayed in radio, not necessarily in Rochester, but, you know, he was in D.C. He was in New Orleans. He was in Phoenix, actually, at one point.
All places I like.
You know, you know, so every time he went to a new station, I'd follow, and that's where my vacation would wind up every year. So, yeah, I've spent some good times following Renee. But, you know, he was actually in town for my party, as you said, but he came up last Saturday morning, and people, the phones start ringing off the hook, like, is that the Renee Hell? And, you know, so, yeah, it was good to see him, and he is part of WDKX's history.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, he had the number one show during afternoon drive in the entire city.
I believe that.
So
I believe that. He was a very popular on-air personality back then. And it was my childhood. Hearing his voice was like hearing my childhood.
Yeah.
So it was great to have a conversation with him and, you know, just to find out what he's been doing all this time. So I was happy to see him. The mayor, Lovely, was there.
Yep.
And a host of other folks from our political life, personal life, and
City
DKX.
Hall life.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was great to see a lot of folks.
Yeah. It was, I have pegged this trip the best birthday ever. I came here because I just wanted to be surrounded by family and friends. And I actually had one family member, my cousin Bootsy. Yeah, I'm going to call her Bootsy. Mm-hmm. I hadn't seen her in 20 years. So she came in from Florida, you know, to help celebrate my birthday. And it was just the best birthday ever.
No, and I felt the energy there. You look great to me. And I was happy to see you without the cane.
No brace.
I mean, because no brace. because I remember you going through that physical struggle. And to see you now as if nothing ever happened, I mean, it's wonderful to see that.
And while we're here, mm-hmm. I want to thank you, because during this whole ordeal with my back, you are always there for me, and I just want to thank you for that. You would bring me food.
Well, you're my sister, so I mean, what else was I going to do?
It was either surgery number 3 or surgery number 4. I lost count, but I had my eyes closed, and I heard somebody snoring. Yeah, you snore. And
oh, I know. I big toe.
And I opened my eyes, and you were asleep in the chair next to my bed, and the nurse, I asked her, I said, well, how long has he been here? She said, for a good while. And you know, but stuff like that, it makes a difference in someone's life. It's the little things. That visit meant the world to me. So I just want to publicly thank you for that. Oh,
no problem. No problem at all. I wouldn't have it any other way. And I just, you know, you've always been like family to me and the girls and, you know, through my marriage and divorce and all of that stuff. So for me, that's what you do for family. That's just what you do for family. And I hate that John wasn't around to see you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's passed now.
Yeah.
But I think he would have been like amazed to see, you know, this full recovery. That's what I'm calling a full recovery.
John Borat was the man.
Yes,
okay,
he was.
Okay, excuse me. The professor of rap was the man.
Yes.
And I miss him dearly.
I miss him, too. And I see pictures of him probably 2 or 3 times a week, and I get teary-eyed.
Yeah.
Because he was just a great person.
Yes, he was.
And a friend. And if he was with you, he was with you.
He was with you.
Yes.
Yes.
So Let's talk about, you know, the other things that you have been involved with, kind of like, you know, Garfagan and some other things that, because your life with Xerox. I mean, you just have so many things that you've done.
I'm a Jill of all trades.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, I just, I never feared making change in life. I was with Xerox for 18 years. Once my daughter went off to college, the same year 9/11 happened, and I just made the decision it was time to do something different. So I quit my job at Xerox of 18 years, and I moved to Phoenix. Had the best career in the world once I got there. I worked for Scottsdale Insurance Company. I was the assistant to the president and the event planner for the company. And then I had the accident. Came back to Rochester after the accident to start over again. And that's what I did. I worked for Garfagan. I worked for the Little Theater. I did a stint with ABC. And then Andre from DKX introduced me to Loretta Scott. I became her legislative aide. And I still did some work for DKX. I did their website content. I did their Facebook page. You know, so I always had my hand in something because I just believe you should look at a whole picture and put yourself out there and learn something new every single day. Don't let a day go by that you're not learning something new. And that was my motto. And then also, unofficially, a foster mom. All the Garfagan dancers that came in from out of town, I was the den mother for those dancers. So, but yeah.
Good. I you're part of Rochester's history. Even though you might have been in Phoenix, you still were doing things. Like, you helped one of my campaigns very early on, and we hadn't met at the time. Dre just put you on the phone and said, she's going to help you.
Yeah. And when Dre says you need to help somebody, you help them.
Yeah. So that was over 20 years ago. Now that I think about that, but that was wonderful to have a voice that I had never met reach out and say, hey, Dre told me that I got to help you. And you did. So I am grinning from ear to ear now because I never imagined that we'd be at this point having this conversation.
Right.
Because it's where we were when you left Rochester, your health wasn't that good. And then I shortly after that got into my situation legally. And now here it is. We have survived.
Yes.
Right. And now we're telling people about it because everybody goes through something.
Everybody.
Right? And the key is really not to give up, but to pivot, mm-hmm. to be comfortable with the pivot. And I remember somebody told me that when I was struggling, they said, your mind just has not accepted the fact that you need to pivot. You're trying to move like you're still Councilman McFadden. You're no longer that person.
Right.
And so I had to mentally adjust. Okay, that's not my life anymore. What is the life that I want for myself? And what are the things that are really important to me?
Right. Well, you know, we all go through our own stuff. We all make mistakes. It's how you recover
yes.
from that mistake, which is that's the most important part. And, you know, I look at you now. And I look at the field that you're in now, and you're really making a difference. And you have a story to share
mm-hmm.
with the people that you're dealing with. And that's what you're supposed to be doing. God makes no mistakes.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. He might lump you upside the head
yeah.
so that you get what he's
yeah.
trying to get you to do. But I really understand that because I'm living and I'm walking in purpose right now.
Exactly.
And so it's not about politics anymore for me or fighting every cause or any of that. It's really about my family and the purpose that God has for me and trying to be the person that he designed me to be.
Right. And that's what you're doing.
Yes.
And I'm proud of you, little brother.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. And, I know that you got all the way out to Phoenix the second time and then connected with my godmother.
I'm like, who would have thunk it, you know?
Yes.
And, you know, she's, I knew her at Xerox. She mm-hmm. was, you know, a senior manager at Xerox. And I was talking to you on the phone one day and you were like, my godmother lives in Arizona. Who's your godmother? And you said
Shirley Wilson. Yes.
And it was like, oh my goodness. You know, and we've been in touch with each other ever since.
Yeah, she was a real, what I would say, important person in my life at a time that I needed someone to be there in terms of finding my way professionally mm-hmm. as a kid, going from, you know, hanging on the corners of Genesee and Sawyer, now in college and trying to make that jump, because that was a huge
yeah.
jump for me to go from, you know, life as a black mob participant or affiliate, however okay. you want to put it, to now being a scholar and in college and trying to find my way. And she helped me through that. I became an intern at Xerox yeah. because of her and owe a lot to her in terms of my professional life, because she just stood in the gap for me and, yeah. and basically wasn't afraid to correct my behavior.
And that's just the person that she is, because
yes.
she has corrected me on more than one occasion as well. So
yes, and so I would definitely got to give a shout out to Shirley and Joya Wilson, who is my god sister, who I would have never met if it wasn't for a guy by the name of Akeem Deshay, who was Joya's boyfriend.
Oh.
And he was my friend, and we just kind of all hung out together and we became family.
Okay.
We became family. So it's one of those things, and when I don't call, they get mad at me, and I could do better. So
me too, and I live there. So, you know, I'm living in a mirror world these days. So
yeah.
I don't have yeah. a whole lot of time to think about other, cuz I'm just in it just oh god, I can't even put it into words. A mirrordom. That's where I'm living right now.
Well, that's purpose, though.
Yeah.
Right? That's purpose. And that's living a life that's purposeful.
And but I do tell him all the time that we need to start seeing other people. We really do. It's time. It's that time.
Yeah. Now, how old is he now?
14 months.
Oh, wow.
Yep. He's 14 months old and, you know, talking and walking and. You know, he's a character, as you saw yourself at my party. He took over the party.
That's all right, though. That is all right. Well, I know that, you know, you're going to be heading back to Phoenix. Please don't beat up on my Cowboys
oh,
like you've been doing.
Man.
And my Lakers. Well, like you've been doing. You
come
know?
On. you saw my clothes today, right? I got
I saw it. I saw
you
it.
You know, but yeah, the Suns are going to be a problem this year.
You got a stack tee, but hopefully LeBron and company can ward you off a little bit.
Yeah. But no, watch out for my Suns this year. It's our year.
Now, if there was someone out there listening and they needed to bounce back, what is the most important thing or piece of advice that you would give them?
Never give up. And there's going to be days when you want to.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be days when, you know, not only in bed, you're under the bed hiding from what's going on. Don't give up. You know, I know the suicide rate right now, especially amongst Black youth, Black male youth is pretty high, but you gotta keep standing. You gotta not give up. And if you don't feel like you can do it for yourself, find somebody, add people in your life. Everybody knows somebody that they can go talk to. That would be my advice.
And pick wise people to talk to.
Exactly. You know,
my oldest daughter just told me how she got some advice for someone, and it was terrible advice. I said, well, you got to be mindful who you're asking. You're asking somebody that probably didn't have the background that you were hoping that they had to give you the advice that you were looking for. So you got to be mindful sometime of who you're asking. Just because you can talk to somebody doesn't mean that they're wise.
Well, from looking at the accomplishments of Rainey, I think she's talking to the right people now.
Oh yeah.
Maybe
absolutely.
Not before, but she is now.
Well, no, this is just one small thing where she was like, I couldn't believe that they told me that. I said, well, keep in mind who you were asking. Mm-hmm. But no, my daughters, all three of them.
Amazing. Women.
Yeah, I love them. And they are making me proud every day. And they're in such a good place mm-hmm. right now as individuals and with me and their mom and the things that they're trying to accomplish. I couldn't be more prouder of them.
Yeah, they're amazing women. I remember two of them when they were just girls.
Little.
Just to see, you know, they are standing.
Mm-hmm.
They never gave up. They never let any negativity into keeping them from doing what they needed to do. And, you know, they were very fortunate that they had you and their mom.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're out there and you don't think like you can make it on your own, reach out to a pastor, reach out to a police officer, reach out to a teacher, counselor. There's somebody that can help you, or at least help you in that moment so you won't give up.
And what I'm finding, there are people who are willing to stand in the gap.
Yes.
When asked.
Yes.
And that's, I just told a friend this the other day. Being a good friend is knowing when to ask for help.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to overstep.
Right.
Because sometimes it doesn't require me over, you know, getting involved. It may just require me just sitting there and listening. So I always tell people, being a good friend means knowing when to ask for help.
And also know when to give hugs.
Oh, absolutely.
That was one of the reasons why I came back, because I just wanted hugs from as many people as possible. And that's exactly, I think I got enough hugs in me right now that I probably don't have to come back to Rochester for two more years. So, but I'll be back before that.
Oh, that's great. That is so great. Well, I want to thank you for joining me today. This is monumental for me personally, because I just love you to death. And aww. I marvel at the fact that you have bounced back, and I love it.
Thank you for having me, and you know how I feel about you. You know I love you dearly, little brother.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you. And listeners, stay tuned to more Bounce Back episodes, and this is Adam McFadden signing off.
Thanks for listening to this podcast on the WDKX Podcast Network.
Provided by Vision Automotive.